Hello and welcome to The Word, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ every day from the Order of Preachers around the world. Today, from the United States, we hear from Father Kieran Healy. Father Kieran directs a retreat house in Oregon. His preaching today is entitled, Who Can Be Our Brothers and Sisters?
The reading, then, is from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 20, 27 to 40. Some Sadducees, who deny that there is a resurrection, came forward and put this question to Jesus, saying, Teacher, Moses wrote for us, if someone's brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up the descendants for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married a woman but died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and likewise all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. Now, at the resurrection, whose wife will that woman be? For all seven had been married to her. And Jesus said to them, the children of this age marry and remarry, but those who are deemed worthy to attain the coming age and to the resurrection of the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. They no longer die. They are like angels, and they are the children of God because they are the ones who will rise. That the dead will rise, even Moses made known in the passage about the bush, when he called Lord the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And he is not a God of the dead, but of the living, for to him all are alive. Some of the scribes said in reply, Teacher, you have answered well. And they no longer dare to ask him anything. The Gospel of the Lord. If someone brother dies, leaving a wife but no child, his brother must take the wife and raise up descendants for his brother. And so the Gospel. And this story always reminds me of my direct experience that I had when I worked at the Dominican novitiate in Kisumu, Kenya. We lived about 9 miles outside the city. Kisumu is a center for trade, but also right at the northeastern edge of Lake Victoria. We lived on the hills outside the city with a beautiful view of Lake Victoria. In such a rural setting, there are always items that needed repairs, and it was important to find a handyman to help with the water and electricity systems. Hussein Hamisi lived in a local village about 100 meters from our compound. And not only did we work together, but he became a good and faithful and lasting friend. The village was mostly Muslim, and Hamisi was a devout and respected member of the local mosque. He was also a leading figure in the village. I really enjoyed working with him when we did jobs together. You didn't have to talk much. He would see what had to be done and automatically pick up the other end of the log or the pipe and place it exactly at the right spot. Today's gospel always reminds me of Hamisi. A few years earlier, he had been dating a young lady, but in the meantime, his brother, who lived just over the border in Uganda, had died and left a wife with two children. Being a devout Muslim, Hamisi welcomed them into his home and married his brother's widow. Some of the people of the village were concerned about his former girlfriend and felt that he should have married her. And since Hamisi was a sort of role model for the village, a wedding was planned for his second wife. I got involved because Hamisi needed a driver, and he didn't have a car. I can't tell you how many times Hamisi had rescued me when I had automobile problems. So on his wedding day, I set out with Hamisi for the village of his wife-to-be. When we arrived, the compound was filled with people, and the elders were huddled off to one side. Hamisi went over to bargain with them about the bride price. Meanwhile, a group of young ladies dressed in really colorful, beautiful clothes danced and ran around the house singing and chanting, ha, ha, ha. She's going to marry a poor man who doesn't have a house with a roof over his head. Then the bride appeared under a sort of baldacchino, is what I could say, and Hamisi stepped forward and took her by the hand. With every gesture, he gave her 25 shillings to show that to everyone there that he would be a good provider for her. And then he led her to the car, offering more shillings every step of the way. In all, it was a very beautiful and memorable occasion. I love to see what is most beautiful and sacred in other religions, and to approach them, not emphasizing our differences, but trying to understand what is most sacred and cherished in their evocation and their recognition of the worship and worship of God. This provides me with a very strong connection with Pope Francis, whose recent encyclical letter, which reflects the universal recognition of the God of all peoples and the sacred recognition of God by countless men and women of goodwill throughout the whole earth, and indeed throughout history. Pope Francis was stimulated to write this message to the whole world by the universal needs caused by our present pandemic, by his encounter with Sheikh Ahmad El-Tayeb, Grand Imam of the Al-Hazar Mosque in Cairo. Pope Francis mentioned how inspired he was by his brothers and sisters who are not Catholic, Martin Luther King, Desmond Tutu, Mahatma Gandhi, but also by Charles de Foucault, a Catholic, who directed his ideal of total surrender to God towards identification with the poor, abandoned in the depths of the African desert. In that setting, he expressed his desire to feed himself and to become a brother for every human being, and ask friends to pray to God that he might truly be a brother to all. Pope Francis concludes his encyclical, Fratelli Tutti, with the desire that Charles de Foucault's ideal might be extended to each one of us. What a marvelous challenge to all of us. And what an incredible encyclical that is. I'm just reading it again and again. I can hardly talk about anything else during these times. And so, as we face world tensions as well as a worldwide pandemic, it is certainly a blessing to have the leadership of Pope Francis. I've been around since the days of Pius XII and have never experienced such marvelous leadership. Francis not only offers a deeply spiritual model of service, but even moves beyond the theological expertise that we would hope for in a pope to show an imagination, an understanding of social, economic, and political issues, really on the world stage. What a blessing he is for all of us. But it's also a challenge. We need to follow his leadership and expand our interests and behavior to confront life's challenges on our own more modest level of expression. How we look for courage and imagination. And some questions also arise. Have I not just tolerated, but reached out and not really understood the religious commitments of my brothers and sisters? Have I seriously prayed for, and when possible, with them, for God's blessing as well as for their salvation? Have I taken this worldview seriously and combined it with my own view, the things that I pray for and the salvation of all my brothers and sisters on this journey to the Lord that we share? Pope Francis seems to break all fears and barriers as he prays for and speaks to the salvation of all peoples. What an ability to see the presence of God in every human being and to express this on a world stage in its highest and most beautiful level. I will long remember my dear friend Hamisi's wedding. Following the leadership of Pope Francis, I will continue to actively seek and recognize the very blessings of God in all my brothers and sisters throughout the world. From time to time, it's wonderful to recognize the full scope of God's redemptive love for all men and women of every time and place. May God bless you and inspire you by the words of Francis to cherish God's beautiful extravagance in the lives of our brothers and sisters everywhere, and with every background and disposition and approach to the Lord. Francis helps us to know that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. Let us now enact that promise in our world. May God bless you on this feast.